So before the break, we were looking at motivation and inspiration. And if we are going to integrate ourselves deeply amidst all the disintegrating forces and tendencies of modern life, we really are going to need to keep working to find sources of inspiration, stay in contact with them, and deepen our motivation. And we need to be really kind of clear about this. I think it's so easy to think, well, you know, modern life is so difficult, there are so many demands on my time, and so forth, that I'm not practicing very intensively. But that isn't the real problem. The real problem is that we're not motivated and inspired enough to practice even under those difficult conditions. That's the real problem. And we really need to kind of get that, because otherwise, you know, we're going to be putting off practicing until, you know, one day we manage to get into those easier conditions. And but we need to practice now. So, yes, you know, there are lots of things about the way in which a lot of us have to live these days which do not support Dharma practice. They don't support us remembering the Dharma. They don't support us in putting it into action in our lives. But still, if we were more inspired and motivated, we would be practicing even under those conditions. Yeah. There are no conditions under which you can't practice the Dharma. Yeah. What are they? There aren't any. You can always practice the Dharma. There is always something you can do this moment. So the issue is whether we're remembering to do it and feeling moved to do it. Yeah. That's the fundamental issue. So on one side, yes, we need to, you know, we need to be understanding of ourselves. You know, a lot of us are, you know, we're not living in very supportive conditions in all sorts of ways. You know, life is trying to lure us away, fill our time, waste our time. You know, there are all kinds of demands. You know, we need to understand this. This is not easy. So yes, we're very sympathetic to ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we therefore go, oh, so of course you can't practice the Dharma, or you can only do it a little bit. What it means is that we have to focus on staying inspired, focus on staying motivated, and keep coming back to that. And maybe still, you know, this year, a lot of the time, life will defeat that motivation. The motivation won't be strong enough. Our inspiration won't be strong enough. Next year, we'll have a few little successes, but still, basically, we'll defeat it. The year after that, we keep working, and we start being able to sustain our motivation under those more difficult conditions. 5 years from now, we've started to turn ourselves into somebody who can withstand those more difficult conditions. 10 years from now, we don't care what the conditions are. Because what our life is about is the Dharma. What our life is about is the bodhicitta. What our life is about is something very, very beautiful. So on one hand, we need to be really understanding of ourselves, but on the other hand, we need to see, you know, fundamentally, it's always down to us. We can look at all sorts of people down through the last 2,500 years, you had rotten conditions for practicing the Dharma. They had bad health. They were looking after children and grandchildren in poverty. I'm just thinking about Deepa Ma in India. You may have read that Wintour's Publications book about all sorts of people. Yeah, so it's finally not about the conditions. I mean, the whole of the Dharma is actually about us becoming less conditioned by the conditions. Yeah. So that means, we have to be inspired and motivated to do that, and not somehow be telling ourselves, well, some other day, some other time, some other life, and with some other person, then we'll be able to do it. So let's really grow our motivation, grow it, from a tiny seed into something that's really alive and full, which can withstand the conditions that we're under. Let's make that a priority. And I know for myself, there are times where, you think, okay, I'll do that. And so you do it a bit, and it's not enough. And something you sort of gives up. And you think, But there's that aspect of virya which doesn't give up, which just feels, all right, I had a go, you sort of get a bit kind of more optimistic about yourself, you come on retreat, and so you feel a bit more enthusiastic. So you think, okay, I'm gonna give those conditions, what for, and I'm gonna really do better. And then you get back in those conditions, and actually you don't do much better, and you just go, oh. But at that point, you just need to pick yourself up and go back to your sources of inspiration and back to your motivation and do it again and do a little better. And then you kind of, you fall over again. But you just keep going and keep going and keep going. Yeah, you just have to get there in the end. But you only get there in the end if you keep on going. It's like tennis. You just have to win the final point. Okay. So it's often also like this with the idea of, keeping mindfulness through the day. You sort of start with good intentions and think, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to practice, I'm going to stay with the breathing all through the day, or I'm going to be, keep a sense of continuity of purpose. And it lasts a little while and then you forget. And that sort of undermines your confidence in you being able to do it. And so you have another go, but with less energy behind it, and because of that you forget again, and then you have one more go, but then it sort of dies away, and then you let it go, thinking, I'm not in the right state today. But that's not going to do it, is it? That's just not going to do it. So we have to, the spiritual life, in a way, who was it? Yes, from a certain point of view, spiritual life is one long history of failure. And we have to kind of, see it like that in a way. We have to see that, we're going to keep failing and failing and failing and failing to practice the Dharma. And we're going to keep getting up and getting up and getting up and getting up and doing it again. In the early days, I sat through an awful lot of public ordinations with Bhante, and quite often when it came to Appamadena Sampadeta, that bit, with mindfulness strive, one of the things that I heard him say quite often is that that's all you have to do. You just have to do your best to be mindful and to keep making an effort. And if you can sort of stride down the path, that's great. But if all you can do is crawl down the path, then that's, you know, that will do it. You just keep going. Yeah. So we need to really get into the practice of, okay, each time we, you know, set a really good intention with a sort of really positive vision of ourselves and what we could do and how we could be, and we lose that, you know, rather than kind of going, oh, well, I never really, thought I'd do it anyway. We just need to come back to think, well, okay, we're trying to do something extremely difficult here. And okay, I didn't manage to work out how to do it this time. So right, let's have another try. Again and again and again. And eventually we will succeed. Yeah, so we need both sort of to be motivated and encouraged. It's almost like they're two different things. It's like part of us can be very inspired and motivated, and yet something in us, along with that, dwelling in the same space. This is another aspect of integration, maybe. You've got your inspired, motivated bit, and then you've got the bit which feels more like, yeah, you know, other people actually can really do the spiritual life, but not me. And we have to address that bit. You know, we have to get to that bit and get into dialogue with it and transform it. So in a way, we have to keep encouraging ourselves. We have to keep encouraging that bit that doesn't really believe we're up for it or up to it. That bit that's, well, most of us have got a bit that doesn't really kind of think much of life at all. We have a bit that's quite Eeyore-ish. Do you know Winnie the Pooh? Pooh der Bär, auf Deutsch. Or this that bit which is a bit like sort of Marvin the Paranoid Android, you know, life, you know, don't talk to me about life. And that those bits often operate kind of independently of, you know, they're in a separate room doing their own thing. They haven't actually, nobody's actually told them that we're practicing the Dharma there. So we have to get into that room and engage with them. And talk to them, yeah, and encourage them. And a lot of spiritual friendship is not only, you know, motivating, but it's also encouraging us, and it's partly encouraging us to take ourselves seriously as Dharma practitioners. I think one of the great things about the stronger interest that there's been in insight practice in some ways over the last few years. I mean, it's good that people are exploring that territory in different ways. But one of the best things about it is just that I think some old members have just gone, oh, they were kind of going along on a sort of Dharma track, but it wasn't a very strong, inspired Dharma track. And somehow they kind of caught this sense of, oh, yeah, maybe I could really gain some insight here. And the looking is great, or how do you approach insight. But there's also something about, with that sort of insight work, just as you're taking yourself less seriously as an inherently existent separate unit, you're taking yourself more seriously as a Dharma practitioner. You know, you're taking yourself more seriously as someone who could, you know, see deeply into the nature of things. But all of us as order members, you know, when we had our Going for Refuge witnessed, you know, by a private preceptor, you know, and our public preceptor sort of ushered us into the order, that person or those people and those order members who knew us, who said, oh yes, you're definitely ready for ordination, they all had a vision of us, not as someone who would just kind of, you know, do a little bit of Dharma practice here and there. You know, they were inspired by a sense of what we could become. They were inspired by, you know, that name that we ended up with. They were inspired by that sense of possibility for us. And it's really important that we take that in. That we take in the fact that, yeah, we can seriously practice and we can seriously get some of it done. Because otherwise, yeah, there's the bit that's motivated and inspired over here, and there's the bit that's got really low expectations in another part of our forest and they haven't ever met. So we're both sort of, in a way, expecting too much and too little. Yeah. There's sometimes, you know, part of us, the more sort of intellectual part, has got some kind of sense of, oh yes, you know, enlightenment and da da da. But that's a bit disconnected from our actual experience. So that's sort of, that's almost kind of, or is sort of expecting far too much of ourselves from where we're starting. But then another part is expecting far too little, and is just going, well, I'm like this, and I can do a little bit, but you know, I never really get anywhere. I could never be like, you know, those people. So we need to come to a really realistic sense of, yes, maybe we won't gain supreme and perfect enlightenment by the end of this week, but... Yeah, so we take expectations off as a pressure, some sort of pressure to do something that's unrealistic. But we really start to take ourselves seriously as Dharma practitioners, as sons and daughters of the Buddha, or somewhere between a son and daughter of the Buddha in one or two cases. Yeah. Right. So, didn't know you were going to get any of that. There it is. All right. So let's do some meditation, and let's come back to the breath and relaxed awareness. So we'll have another guided meditation. So we'll start with just a little open space. Now let's see if we can bring our general sense of motivation or inspiration. Into this situation where we're going to focus, explore our experience of the breathing, the body, this next 20 or 30 minutes could be another step another movement towards freedom or whatever inspires us. Perhaps we could find some motivation and inspiration to become more and more grounded. More and more unshakable. Not thrown around by external events or internal events. Strong emotions. To become like that. We'll need again and again to come back to our connection with the ground, our connection with the earth. So let's feel that connection. from that solid base, letting the spine open, there's a sense of lightness in the upper body, and also a sense of dignity. Is the upright bearing of a follower of the Buddha. Not stiff, it's taking up our full space. Sitting like this, maybe we could be motivated and inspired to be fully alive in the body, fully alive to our experience. So how is it to be embodied right now? What is our experience? Being particularly aware of the breathing. How is it to be breathing right now? now, taking a few breaths where we're very clearly, very vividly aware of the whole breathing process, even if we have to tighten up a little to do it. Now let's see what happens. We relax back a little, keeping the awareness, keeping it bright, keeping the energy. But introducing more and more relaxation. As much as we can while still keeping that brightness of awareness. Now let's see if we've managed to find this relaxed awareness of the breathing. Let's see if we can find aspects of it to enjoy. we're tired or drifting a bit. We just see if there's something we can do. Even one tiny step in that direction. We don't give up. Finally, we feel like we've been making any effort, and just let it all go. Let everything happen by itself. Just sit, nothing to do. Just aware experience. Thank you.